Well, it is so glad to be here with you to share about Mission 620. You can bring up that PowerPoint. There we go. Mission 620. Why is it 620? Well, 620 is simply the area code in which we're going to reach. That is McPherson, Kansas, South Central Kansas is area code 620. And so it is a church plant to McPherson, Kansas. And so how to remember how to pronounce McPherson is that there's no fear in McPherson. And so it's not McPherson, it's McPherson. I don't have an issue with people saying it. I just been to McPherson, and I know the people there have an issue when you say McPherson. And they're like, there's no fear in McPherson. And so it's McPherson, and we're honored to go, that God has called my wife and I to go plant a church in McPherson. As Brother Carl said, we're starting a church from scratch. There's not a church there in McPherson. And so we're going to go there. We have no idea what we're doing, but we believe God does. And we're going to hold fast into what he has called us to do. And we're just going to go. We're here for the ride. We're just along for the ride. We're just in his arms and through this whole trip. I just want to talk a little bit about who we are. Who are we? I'm Zach. I'm currently the associate/youth pastor at Eastside Free Will Baptist Church, and that is my wife, Alicia. I accepted Christ at the age of 17, January 16th of 2011. So the last 7 years has been a wonderful ride. It's been a whirlwind, a roller coaster ride in my life. And so, as God called me as a junior in high school. And a ripe time in my life, a time that I never thought I would see Jesus come into my life. I accepted Jesus Christ, and God called me to go to Hillsdale Free Will Baptist College, and that's where I answered a call to ministry. And my wife, she grew up in church at a young age, has a big family, has four sisters and 10 nieces and nephews and more on the way. And so she has a big family. Well, when we answered a call to ministry, we got married in April of 2014. The following week after we got married, God called us to go look at a church and view the calling in Arkansas, 6 hours away from home. We knew nobody. We had no family. Our closest family was 6 hours away. And so we moved there a month after we got married. We went there, and we were the youth pastors there for a year and a half. It felt like we were on the mission field. And then God called us to Muldrow. I had no idea God would call us to Muldrow. I don't know how many times I have drove past Muldrow, Oklahoma, from going from Arkansas to Kansas to see family. I don't know how many times we drove past the Ten Commandments and looked at them and said, oh, that's cool. That's cool that's there. We knew nobody in Muldrow. Felt like we were on the mission field. And so for the last 4 years, not having family, being close, we felt like we've been on the mission field. And God has been preparing Alicia and I for a time as this, for such a time as this. And so that's a little bit about who we are. Let's talk about the vision. What is the vision? What is the vision of this Mission 620? Well, Antioch Free Will Baptist Church will soon be born in McPherson, Kansas. Well, why did you name your church Antioch? Well, we just went to Google and just had church names, right? And Antioch was the first one on the list, and we didn't have to scroll down so far. No, that's not why we picked the church name of Antioch. Well, if you know anything about Antioch of Syria, Paul was his very first mission. When he went on his mission, that was the very first place where he went to. And so we believe McPherson is just the beginning of Kansas. We want to be able to go and plant more churches in Kansas. And so this is the very beginning place. It is the first place the word Christian was derived from. And so we want to be true Christians, what it really means to be a Christian. And so our vision is to make disciples, send disciples. Make disciples, send disciples. And this is a short statement that makes a huge statement that it conveys the command of Jesus Christ, and that is, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Our vision is, until all are saved, the church will always be making and sending disciples. That is our goal. That's just not Antioch Free Will Baptist Church and Mission 620. It is Cornerstone Free Will Baptist Church's command and mission as well. God has commanded all Christians, all disciples, to make and send more disciples. So why McPherson? Why not Wichita? Why not Kansas City? Why not Manhattan? Why not Lawrence? Not Lawrence, that's where KU's at. How many of you have been watching basketball this weekend? Some of you have. No one likes KU. I don't either. I grew up in Kansas. I grew up in Wellington, which is 30 minutes south of Wichita. I don't like KU. I'm a Wichita State Shockers fan, and it hurt me when they lost. But anyways, why McPherson? Well, just some quick facts about McPherson. That there is about 13,500 people. There's about 20 to 25 evangelical churches in McPherson. So let's do the math here. Let's say the average attendance of the churches is 200. 200 is the average attendance. We know some is, you know, may have 10 or 15 people. Some may have 400. But say the average is 200. And let's make it easy math, because I grew up in a small town and our math department wasn't very good. And so we had 20 churches at 200 people. That's how many people? 4,000. See that number? 13,500. That means that the churches there now are not even reaching half of McPherson. And there's a problem. That's a problem. Say 1,300 with me. 1,300. Say that again with me. 1,300. That's how many adults are divorced in McPherson. That's how many adults are divorced in McPherson. Say 40 with me. 40. Say that again with me. 40. That's how many children are in the foster care system in McPherson, Kansas. The devil has stuck his hand in the family. He is tearing families apart in McPherson, Kansas. I came from a divided home. I understand the heartache that it causes for children and families. That's Jesus. Hey, we want to talk to him here. The devil is tearing families apart in McPherson, Kansas. And so what we want to do is we want to go in there and help out the families. That's what we want to do. Why McPherson? Say 5,000 with me. 5,000. Say that again. 5,000. That's how many people at least don't identify with Jesus Christ. At least. Say, I don't even believe in Jesus. That's more than Muldrow and Roland put together, or just about that number. Imagine coming to Muldrow and Roland and no one in your community believes in Jesus. Imagine how hard that community would be, how tough it would be to live in that community, how hard it would be to be even a Christian in that community. There's over 5,000. We know that's just the people we know that don't identify with Jesus Christ. But we know that number is greater, because how many of you say, I believe in Jesus, but we know their life is different from that? Why McPherson? Why McPherson? There's just a few reasons why. And there's another reason why is McPherson is in a strategic location, because we want to be a church planting church. If you divide Kansas in half from Wichita to Salina, we have 12 churches that are all east of the state. 12 Free Will Baptist churches in the state of Kansas. We have about 12 Free Will Baptist churches in a 10-mile radius from this location. We have 12 in Kansas. And just a year or two before ago, we had one just shut their doors, close down. The saying is, for every church plant, there's two churches closing their doors. We talked about in our Sunday school, about a decade ago, there was over 300 Free Will Baptist churches in the state of Oklahoma. Right now, there's 206. 2 weeks ago, a church closed their doors in Oklahoma City. And there are many more that are on the verge of closing their doors. And so we believe in church planting. We believe in revitalization. We believe our goal is, when we get to McPherson, is to build up a new church, but help the other churches in our state as well. Because we believe the stronger the other churches are, stronger our church will be, and stronger our Free Will Baptist work in Kansas will be, stronger the Free Will Baptist work in our throughout our this nation and this world will be. And so what are our core values? I won't go through all of our core values. I won't read it all, but I'll just quickly go through them. We will be a Bible-centered preaching and teaching church. We believe Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We'll evangelize. We believe in the importance of getting people saved. We do. But that's just the first step, is getting them saved. Then we will disciple them. That's important, to disciple them. We will grow up godly servant leaders in our church, in the home, in their work, in the community. Wherever someone who comes in and becomes a disciple, they will be godly servant leaders. Now it's saying standing in the back with a whip, leading people that way. No, leader is in the front, carrying everybody with them. And we want to grow up godly servant leaders. Strong families. That's our core value, strong families. Deuteronomy 6, it says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Deuteronomy 6, 7 is a very important scripture about parents raising up their children. Fathers being the godly leader of the home, or the mother, depending on how the family is. But we'll want to go in there and rebuild a family in McPherson. Because you know what? We believe. Here's the thing. God created the family before he created the church. You know that? Do you know that? Genesis 1 and 2, in the beginning. When God created this world, he created the family. And it was later on that he created the church. And so we believe families come first. We believe because stronger the family, stronger the church. Stronger the church, stronger the community. Stronger the community, stronger your state. Stronger your state, stronger your nation. Stronger your nation, stronger this world will be. And it starts with the family. And so we got to start with the family. We got to build up these strong families. We got to rebuild it. And we want to be authentic. We want to laugh together. We want to cry together. Have joy and mourn together. We want to be authentic. The mission. Antioch Free Will Baptist Church's mission will be to teach, equip, and train disciples so that we can make and send disciples. As soon as we evangelize and get them saved, we will teach, equip them, and train them how to go out and evangelize, how to go out and to disciple. Because we believe, you know, I, Zach, disciple one person for, let's say, 12 weeks. Then after that 12 weeks, I go disciple another person. That person goes disciples another person. And then that person goes. And all of a sudden, you have this tree of people discipling, and you're reaching your community. We believe it's important to not just get people saved, but to teach, equip, and train them, because Jesus commands us to do so. Well, mission 6-0 also means something more. The 6 is talking about that Deuteronomy 6 passage, that Shema, that prayer, talking about the family being strong, reading the Word together, coming together, learning about God with one another. Again, strong families. That's our focus, to rebuild families. 2 is the number is that Jesus sent out disciples in 2. He sent them disciples out into 2 in the community to evangelize. And so we will focus on sending 2 in the community. And 0 is the most important part. 0 is the number of people that God wants lost. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." If there are lost people, our mission must continue. Not only in McPherson, but the surrounding areas of McPherson, Muldrow, Roland, Oklahoma, Panama, to Iraq, to Japan, to China. If there are lost people in this world, our missions as Christians must continue to evangelize, to save the lost. That is our mission. So where are we? Where are we at in all of this? Well, right now we're in the itinerary. We're traveling around as we are here this morning and sharing our vision about Mission 6-2-0 and wanting to have partners come along with us for the cause of Jesus Christ. Yes, we'll talk about here in a second about the different ways you can partner. And that is just one way to partner with us. I don't want just financial partners. Yes, that's a need. I want people to come along and say, "Hey, this is our work together." When you're texting me, calling me, and saying, "Hey, Zach, I was thinking about this. I was praying about this. What if we can do this?" I want that type of partnership, because I believe that's the partnership that God is calling us to have. So where are we at? We need to move to McPherson sometime this year, hopefully. We find a house. We will need to do that. We actually have our logo created. We have our logo created, and we will share that at a different time when we actually get all of it back, and we'll be making some things up for that. One thing is we're looking for someone, a team to go with us. We have one gentleman praying about it, and we're seeking God's guidance in that. But maybe you here this morning says, hey, the Lord's been pressing on me to go and do something. Please talk to me. I'd love to share more about our vision and all that. Because I could stand up here for 2 hours and talk about this, but I won't do that. And everybody said, amen, amen. So how to become a partner? Well, the first thing is prayer. You need to pray for us. Here's my favorite, one of my favorite quotes, and I wish I would do it more often, but here's one of my favorite quotes. Prayer is not a spare wheel you put on in a time of trouble, but it is the steering wheel which you hold on to directing your life. I wish I could say I'm 100% follow that to the T, but I don't. But a prayer is the most important thing as the life of a Christian, is to pray for one another. And please pray for me. And we'll have a clipboard with, you can put your name and email. That is the easiest way to keep in contact about our prayer requests. And I will be sending out an email, a newsletter. It's an electronic newsletter this week. So if you want to get that, some prayer requests. And each church I go to, I will send a hard copy of that so the church can read or put on their bulletin board for that. But prayer is the most important thing we can receive. Go. One of the easiest ways is to go. To partner with us is go with us, be a part of our core group, or go as a missions group sometime. We will have to do, you know, picnics in the park. We have to do outreach stuff, so we'll need groups to come in and help us out with that. So maybe that's something the Lord is pressing on your heart. And the last thing is giving. We all know church takes money. I've yet to find anybody to give me free hamburgers and hot dogs to feed to people. If you know anybody that's around McPherson, please give me their number, and I'll be glad to talk to them. And so, but, you know, run the electric. It takes money. And so we need your financial support as well to be able to go to McPherson. And everybody should receive this. If you haven't, I recruited someone already. He just partnered with me this morning, Lucas. He's going to go around, and if you haven't received one of these cards, he's going to just raise your hand, and he will give you one. There's a few over here and some back here. If you haven't received this, Lucas is going right now. He has partnered with us. He's doing a wonderful job. Look at him go. There's one right up here. He's doing good. Make sure everybody gets one before we move further. We got one over here. Oh, we got a couple over there. Good deal. All right. So this is a faith promise card. So on this side, some of you may have got a different card looking card than I did, but it's all the same, has all the same stuff on there. It says faith promise. A faith promise is an agreement with God to be personally involved in ministry to others across North America through giving beyond tithing. This faith promise is my offering of thanks. Offering of thanks. You're wondering, well, what's that? I believe there's two types of people that God calls in this world. He calls goers and he calls senders. I'm a goer. And you're maybe the sender. And then there's the sender that's that offering of thanks, saying thanks for going. And it's my offering of thanks to saying thanks for sending me. It's a twofold. We can't go unless there's senders, and they can't be senders if there's not goers. Yeah, I got that right. That's new this morning. I came up with that. Is that good, Carl? Good deal. On the other side, faith, promise, commitment. Independence upon God and the basics of the direct command of go ye in Matthew 28:19, I would like to give to the support of Zach and Alicia Parent. Don't put Josh. They'll be like, who's Josh? And so put Zach and Alicia Parent. Payable monthly in the amount, check below. And here's a little bit more about our mission, 620. Here's one more step of what it means. Our goal for every place we go to is to get two people and two groups, maybe a Sunday school, youth program, whatever it may be, two groups and two people to partner with us at $6 a month. We believe if we can get that for every place we go, we will achieve full support, and we'll be able to go and reach McPherson and get them to zero. Remember, what is zero? Zero is the number of people that God wants lost. And so maybe that's what you want to do. Payable, monthly amount, check below. Maybe you're one of those $6 people. Maybe you're like, well, maybe I know another person who would do $6. I'll do $12 for them. Maybe I'll do 18 or 24. I'll take care of three or four people. Because at $6, I only need 834 people. I don't know 834 people who will give me $6. I don't know 834 people who will give me $1. And so maybe you're saying, I know a couple people and I will take care of two or three people. And so whatever the Lord is calling upon your heart, check that amount below. And then, yes, I would like North American Ministry to draft my account each month. Please attach a voided check. The amount given will be drafted on the 26th of each month. Maybe you're like me and say, hey, I don't have checks. You can write your routing number or checking account number. Even if you're saying, hey, I don't know my routing and checking account number, well, look it up. But no, I'm kidding. We could do it online, too. We can set you up online with an automatic draft online through a PayPal account through that. So if that's something you're interested in doing, don't worry about the mailing list only. We're not going to be mailing things out for that. Again, we'll do the newsletter to the churches, and we'll do an electronic newsletter through an email. So don't worry about checking the mailing list. Please print your name, address, city, state, zip, and your email if you'd like to receive the email. I'll also get your email off that, or you can fill out one of the sheet there on the bullet or the clipboard. And so I will, Carl said, drop them in the offering bag. Yeah. So at the end of service, you can drop these off in the offering bag. If you didn't get dropped in the offering bag, I'll be standing out in the foyer, and you can hand them to me or my wife, and we'll get that taken care of. Well, that's all I got for Mission 620. I appreciate you guys letting me share about that. So now, we're going to preach the Word of God to you. I'm excited to preach to you this morning. Hebrews chapter 6 is what we're going to be in. Hebrews chapter 6. So as you're working your way there, have any of you seen one of those photos of the celebrities when they were younger, like the before picture, and then seen the after picture, like childhood celebrities when they're younger, and then the after picture is them a little off the deep end? You know, I think of a few people. Shia LaBeouf was one of them. He was someone who I watched on the cartoons when I was younger, watched him in some movies, and all of a sudden there's a picture of him standing in a jail cell getting a mugshot. Another person, Britney Spears. Some of you probably familiar with that. She's seen videos, seen pictures of her on stage singing. Then the next person, the after picture is her with her head bald. That's a little off the deep end. Maybe this resonates with you a little bit more. Michael Jackson. Remember you seen him as, you know, with Jackson 5, you know, good looking young kid, and then the after picture. Seems like he went off the deep end. You're like, Zach, what are you bringing this up for? Well, I believe many of us are like that. Many of us are like that. Now, I don't have a before and after picture, and you maybe not, your head's not bald or whatever, but I believe we have the same feelings and that we deal with the same things that they deal with. Hear me out. Sometimes, as I hear people graduate high school, now graduating college, I hear them say this phrase, high school was the best time of my life. Or they may say, college was the best time of my life. It actually even goes even further and say, before I was married was the best time of my life. Before I had kids, it was the best time of my life. Before I had all these bills, it was the best time of my life, right? Fill in the blank with whatever is in your situation. You say, this back then, in the past, was the best time of my life. And here's what I think about that. How sad is that? To think that there's nothing but down from here. And that why I think we are similar to those actors and those musicians is because they are in a moment of their life, on tour or on that video, that movie that they just made. They were so popular, and all of a sudden they came off that tour, the high of the tour or high of that movie, and they say, there's nothing but down from here. And they fall into depression. They fall into this state of mind and saying, there's nothing better for my life. And we fall into that same trap as well. We fall into that trap of, we think we're not good enough. Can I tell you some truth this morning? You're not good enough. Because you know what the scripture says? The scripture says there's no one righteous, no, not one. There's no one good enough. But you know what also some truth is this morning? Truth is, you're valuable. Jesus saw that you're valuable. And everybody here this morning has value to Jesus Christ. But here's some more truth. Maybe you're not usable. Maybe you're not usable. See, the thing, gold is valuable, right? Gold has a lot of value. I wish I had more gold in my bank account, right? And everybody said, I did too. But gold is not usable. Because you can make a golden hammer. That'd be cool to have a golden hammer, right? It's valuable. When you start using that hammer, you start whacking on some nails, it's going to start breaking, it's going to bend, and it's going to fall apart. It's not very usable. So yes, you may have value, you do have value this morning, but you may not be usable. How many of you have heard that song? You're worth more than gold. See my wife, she's a singer in this relationship. I can't sing. That song, you're worth more than gold. 1 Peter talks about how we are worth more than gold. We go through the fire to purify. And how does gold be purified? It goes through the storms of life. It goes through the fire. And the impurities rise up and God just sweeps them out. But sometimes it takes us to go through some storms, through the fire. But you're worth more than gold. But the big question is, are you usable? Are you usable? If we are to be useful servants, we must understand our value, our identity, how God created us, but then move toward growth and maturity. And this takes discipline. It takes development. So my message this morning is about walking in maturity. And Hebrews 6 is where we begin our reading. Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verse 1 says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on the hands and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Will you pray with me this morning? Father God, we come before you. We thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for calling me to your mission. Thank you for allowing me to come here and share about your word. God, allow me to be a useful servant for you. Allow these people to be a useful servant for you. Let the word apply to their lives this morning. Let those who have ears, let them hear your word. Let them hear your voice this morning. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all people said, amen. So Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 brings us into these things called the elementary doctrine of Jesus Christ. So what are the elementary doctrine? It is repentance. It is faith. It is baptism, laying of the hands, the resurrection, and the eternal judgment. This is the milk that chapter 5, verse 12 is talking about. So move up to chapter 5, verse 12, and it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. So this elementary doctrine is the basic principles of God. You need milk, not solid food. So this is the milk that the author of Hebrews is talking about, the milk, the very basics of Christianity. This is very important. Why are these important? Without these, we cannot be saved. Without these basic principles, we don't understand how we are to be saved. That's very important. It defines who we believe in, what we believe concerning him, and what he requires of us. There are essentials to the faith that the Bible states are non-negotiable. The deity of Christ, the resurrection, and salvation by grace. Non-negotiable. The elementary, the basic principles of God. This is what Paul, or the author of Hebrews, is talking about here. He's saying this is the very basics of what you have to have in this life to be saved by grace. Is these elementary? But the scripture then says, we must therefore let us leave the elementary of Christ. What does that mean? I mean, is that saying give up the elementary, give up the basic principle? No, that's what it's not. That's what it's not talking about this morning. I'm getting a little before my point here, but I want to talk again about this doctrine. Because these are doctrines, right? These are a set of beliefs. And here's the thing. Doctrine is of the mind. It's knowledge. And it's easier to understand the doctrine than the teachings that Jesus Christ had about the heart. Why is that? Because with the mind, you only need to have knowledge. I can remember John 3:16. I can remember Romans 3:23, 6:23. I can remember Scripture, right? I can remember how to be saved. I can remember the Romans Road of Salvation. I can remember these things. I can remember what the Trinity is about and what Scripture has applied to that. But it's only of the mind. It's only knowledge. And so the things about the heart is, with the heart, you need to obey, apply. And that's a little harder. It's easy to remember things. It's hard to do those things. I think some of the kids here this morning, when the parents say, well, my kids have a hard time remembering anything. I tell them to clean the room, they don't do it. Take out the trash, and they don't do it. My wife thinks the same thing about me. Maturity is when your understanding of truth, your mind, and your action, your heart, are one and the same. That's what maturity is. Walking to maturity is when your mind and your heart are on the same page. Maturity is progress beyond the basics and start living what we claim to know. Here's the thing I hear every Christmas. Every after Thanksgiving's over, here's what I hear about every Christmas. And I believe in it. Don't get me wrong. I believe in it. So before you start throwing the tomatoes and the heads of lettuce at me, let me get through my statement. Let me get through what I have to say. I hear every Christmas, I hear this statement of, we need to put Christ back in Christmas. Amen, I agree. But I think we need to do a little bit more than that. I think we need to start putting Christ back into Christian. Come on. Can I get an amen for that? Because so many people who say, we need to put Christ back in Christmas, and they put their little post on Facebook, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, maybe you need to take down the post you just posted before that and say, you need to put Christ back in your own life. Someone who says they're a Christian. We need to begin to apply what we claim to know. It's not merely knowledge, but application. It's not just knowing, but applying. Because here's the thing, the demons believe. You know what the demons do? And they shudder in fear. And we as humans think we can just walk this life and say, oh, I believe in God, but I don't have to live my life according to it, His word. I can just live my life however I want to. It's not good enough. And will never be good enough. It's not merely knowledge, but application. So here's the problem. The problem is apathy. What is apathy? Apathy is not being concerned or enthusiastic. And so why we fall into this trap of not walking into maturity is because we fall into this apathy trap of not being concerned or not being enthusiastic about where we're at in this life, where our life as a Christian is. Where are we in this walk? We don't care. Sometimes it presents itself as laziness. When you say someone who is not concerned because they're lazy, right? Them kids are just lazy. I don't believe really anybody is lazy. I work with youth week in, week out. Every Wednesday, the kids come off the van or they come in driving in, and the first thing they find is the dodgeballs, the basketballs, and the volleyballs, and they begin throwing it at each other's heads. They start running around, start sweating. They know what work is like. Maybe you hear this morning, you know what work is like. Maybe some of you put 60 hours in this week. You know what work is like. Some of you probably maybe worked 40, 50 years so you can retire. You know what hard work is. And so I don't believe it's laziness. I believe the overarching answer to apathy is the question of, what do you care about? What do you care about? See, apathy trades action for inaction and trades in our God-given passions for self-serving hobbies. We're not concerned about where we're at in life because we have given up what God has called us to do. And we begin to serve our self-serving hobbies. We begin to serve our TV time. We begin to serve our time working on our 1970 Chevelle. We start serving our time of playing video games. We start serving our time of whatever, fill in the blank with what your hobbies are. Mine may be hunting. I love to hunt. Maybe sometimes I fall into that trap of, instead of doing God's work, I go spend some time on the tree stand. Are these hobbies in itself wrong? No, they're not. It's not wrong to watch some TV. I've watched quite a bit of TV the last couple of days. I've watched more basketball I ever had this last 2 days, 3 days than I've had the last 3 years. They're not bad in itself. But what's bad about it is we have given up the God-given responsibilities. We traded in our action for inaction. And so we fall into this apathy trap. So what is this apathy trap? What are we talking about? These elementaries of God, doctrine and the maturity. So maybe right here we have the elementary doctrine of Christ. This is where we begin. This is where we're saved. Maturity is over here. Jesus Christ. Full maturity. This is where Jesus is. This is in heaven, where we receive full maturity. But we all begin over here. We all begin over here. And what happens, we fall into this apathy trap. And so we have no concern, no enthusiasm about where we're at in life, and how our walk, where we're at with Jesus Christ. And what happens is it creates no effort. When you're not concerned, you're not going to work on where you're at in life. And what that results in, no maturity. Results in nothing. And one can argue that he actually stepped away from faith. You stepped away from Christ. You don't even have the basics of God anymore. You're not even saved. So what's the cure? What's the cure? How do we get out of this trap? Well, it's called passion. It's called being concerned. It's called being enthusiastic about where you're at with Jesus Christ. And so what we happen when we have passion, we begin to have effort. We begin to evangelize. We begin to read our Bible more. We begin to pray more. We begin to disciple more. And all of a sudden, we look back on where we're at my life 7 years ago and go, wow, I'm not the same man that I was. And you can say, wow, I'm not the same person I was before. I am a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. We're a new creation. It begins, passion creates effort, which results in progress, which results in growth. And one day, if you keep enough passion, if you keep enough walking in maturity, evangelizing, discipling, one day you're going to walk across the Jordan River. You're going to walk through the pearly gates, and you're going to see full maturity. You're going to know all things. You're going to know the creation. You're going to see God in his love and his mercy, and you're going to be able to worship him for the rest of eternity. But it first starts with having some passion, having some effort, having some concern about where you're at in this life. So that's the cure, but let's talk a little bit about why do we fall. We know the trap is there. Why do we fall into it? Three things. And I'll be finished. One is we're disillusioned. Disillusion means not thinking it as good as you hope for. I remember when I first became a Christian, I received elementary doctrine. I received faith. I believed in Jesus. I got into it. I wanted to live for Jesus. I got into this moment. And then a few months later, I go, I thought this was would be a lot better. I thought this would be easier. I thought the things I dealt with before I received the element would no longer be evident in my life. I thought things would be better. And I fall into this trap of, I have to stop doing this. I have to stop doing that. Well, here's the thing. That's a wrong way to think about it. That's being disillusioned. What the right way to think about it is, it's not that I have to stop doing this and stop doing that. It's that I get to do this and I get to do that. I get to stand here before you guys and preach God's word. I get to go to McPherson, Kansas to plant a church to rebuild families because I understand the heartache it causes in the life of children and the life of the family when their devil tears it apart. And so instead of I have to stop going to those parties, I get to preach God's word. I get to fellowship with people. I get to do this because we're disillusioned. I think about all those other things. And here's the thing. I've had more fun being a Christian than I had my times before I was a Christian. And you know what the thing? The good thing about that is I get to wake up next morning. I get to remember it. And I'm not sick. Amen. Amen. We're disillusioned. Sometimes we think it doesn't matter. What does it matter anyway? No one's going to care about if I'm a Christian or not. Does God really love us? It doesn't matter. God doesn't love us anyway. That's what we start disillusioned. If there is evil in this world, God doesn't exist. Because if God exists and he's all love, he would get rid of evil, right? Well, that's being disillusioned. And that's for a whole nother conversation for a whole nother time. But we're disillusioned to think about this stuff that it doesn't matter. It's not going to work out in our life. No one's going to care. Here's the thing. Passion is the cure. Passion is the cure. I challenge you, just be passionate. Just be concerned about where you're at for 1 week. Just 1 week and see what God does in your life. Be concerned about where you're at in your walk with Jesus Christ for 1 week. Reflect about, okay, how much do I read? How much do I pray? How much do I evangelize? Am I discipling anybody or am I being discipled? Just be concerned for 1 week and see what God does in your life. That's the challenge. Second thing is we've been burned. We put ourselves out there, right? We put ourselves out there and we failed. Maybe we received the elementary, and this is me. I'm speaking about from experience here. I'm just an inch away. It's been 4 or 5 months, a year, 2 years, and I feel like I'm just an inch away from my walk. I look back and I'm like, I'm dealing with the same things I've dealt with years ago. I'm dealing with those temptations. And so we think we're not good enough. Remember, you're not. But you're valuable. And here's what God is wanting to do. God is saying, child, you're not, but I am. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep running your race because I am with you every step of the way. And you all have heard that little poem about the person walking in the sand. And Jesus is walking by and you see the two footsteps. And then all of a sudden they come to one step in the footprints in the sand. And he says, well, why is there only one? He says, this is a time of you're falling down. This is a time that you have struggled. And this is the time I carried you through the storm. You've all heard that poem. That is the moment you start to reflect and say, I'm a failure. Jesus is there to say, get back up. Get back up. I think of Rocky, right? Rocky's laying down face first on the mat and he's looking over at his family and his friends and the people who love him and they're screaming and saying, get up, Rocky. Just get up one more time, Rocky. And it's that cliche statement of, it's not matter how many times you fall down, but how many times you get back up. And Jesus is sitting there and saying, get up, my child. Get up to run your race. Keep fighting that good fight. Just one more fight, one more battle, because as the song said, the war is already won. The battle, you have victory through Jesus Christ this morning. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. And he's telling you, just get up one more time. One more time. You know what happens when we look back and we think we fell and we just go, throw our hands up and say, I quit. I quit. We step off the path and we start walking the other way. We start walking into our lives when it was before we received the elementary, and we give up. You know what quitting does? Quitting robs us of two outcomes. First one is learning from our mistakes. Because when we quit, we don't want to learn from our mistakes because it's going to bring us back to a moment of reflection. It's going to bring us, okay, what? How do we get here in this moment of our life? And it hurts. I believe no one in this world likes to quit the good things. There's a lot of things we need to quit, a lot of bad things we need to quit. But no one likes quitting the good things. It hurts. We don't learn from our mistakes. We don't learn because we got to a moment, we had to reflect on the moments that brought us to this time. Maybe it was that arguments with your spouse. Maybe it was those arguments with your children. Maybe it was that argument with your neighbor, your best friend, who now is your worst enemy. And that brings us, and when we quit, we miss out on opportunity for future success. We miss out on opportunities to take one more step into maturity. We miss that opportunity of walking across the Jordan River through those pearly gates to see Jesus Christ. Because that's ultimate success. That's what this life is all about. To glorify Him through the progress. And to worship Him for eternity. That is the purpose of this life. And my last point is we're selfish. We're selfish. We're too busy caring about ourselves. I'm going to ask the musicians to come and help me get finished. So we ask this question, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? What is the whole point of coming and receive the elementary doctrine? Why should I receive Jesus Christ in my life? What's it going to be for me? What's in it for me? We ask that question. What's in it for me? Well, here's what's in it for you. If you're married, you get to be a better spouse. If you have children, you get to be a better parent. If you're a child, and everybody who's here this morning is a child, you're born to two parents, from two parents, you get to be a better child. You get to honor your father and mother better. If you're a friend of someone, you get to be a better friend. If you have enemies, you get to be a better enemy. Jesus says to pray, to love those, your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. That's what he's talking about. You get to be a better enemy. You get to be a better friend. You get to be a better child. You get to be a better parent. You get to be a better spouse. That's what's in it for you. That what's in it for you is that you get to not go to hell for eternity, but you get to go to heaven forever and ever and worship the Almighty God. You get to worship the Creator. You get to worship the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the last, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings forever. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartache, no more failure. That's what's in it for you. When we care so much about ourselves, there remains little time to give to others. And as you guys can begin playing here, what's our challenge this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't received Christ in your life. You see, here's the thing. We live in a video game or a microwave world. We think we can just receive Christ and just skip the whole thing here and walk into eternity. In some cases, yes, that's what happens. But I think of the thief on the cross. For the majority of us, we will receive Christ, and it will be years before He calls us into heaven. And He commands us to walk in maturity. He commands us. He commands us to read our Bible, to pray to Him, to disciple one another, to evangelize, to walk in maturity. If God permits. That last verse, verse 3. And this we will do if God permits. He's not going to allow us to walk into maturity and walk into heaven without first receiving Jesus Christ into our life. So maybe here this morning you said, I haven't received Jesus in my life. Maybe that's the first thing you need to do this morning. But maybe you're here this morning and saying, I have Christ. But I'm contemplating giving up. Don't give up this morning. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep running your race. Keep serving your church. Keep teaching that Sunday school class. Keep teaching that youth group, that children's department. Keep evangelizing to your neighbor. Don't give up. Maybe you just need some hope, need encouragement this morning. Wherever your life is this morning, I want to pray for you.